bring this word today, and I think I've really felt quite strongly all week about this word and what God wanted to do through it. And I know it's a challenging word, and a challenging word in the sense of what God has been wanting to do. And I want to encourage you to be really open. I just want to pray. Say, Father, I just want to ask right now that you would open our hearts to hear your word. And Lord God, as you challenge us, that we would be open to respond to your word this morning. And Lord God, if our hearts are closed, that you would pierce our hearts with your word. That your word would turn our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. That you would transform us from the inside out. And Lord, I just surrender this time to you. I pray you'd anoint my words. It'll be your words this morning that you would touch our hearts and transform our lives and move us forward in your kingdom purposes, Lord God. Just praise you and thank you, Father. Now, this prophetic timetable that we've been looking at, and we've looked at quite a lot of it, obviously we've been seeing that there's a periods of time that God is doing, and the reason for sharing this is not so we can just be fascinated in the future, but actually we can be prepared for when the future comes, because it is coming. You know, can't avoid the future. You know, tomorrow will be here. And like Mike Bryant said last night, you know, today will be yesterday. It will be gone. We'll have missed whatever opportunities there are in today when it's gone, but we've got more opportunities tomorrow, and tomorrow will be coming. And these periods of time, God has been bringing, showing us that he wants to prepare his church to occupy the place of authority that God always intended for his people to occupy. Right from the beginning in Genesis, he called Adam and Eve to go and have dominion in the world and to exercise the kingdom of God authority and bring that on earth. Becky's picture this morning about thrones and exercising thrones, and those are talking about authority places where God's authority through our lives, bringing the heaven to earth, is a key thing. And God has been calling his people into intimacy. This first area here, where I believe we're in right now, there's a call to intimacy, to know God. Not just know about him, but know him. To know who we are and our identity as royal sons of God, royal priesthood, and to know that we're a habitation of God and the kingdom of God is in us. But it's not to remain in us. It needs to be manifested through us to the world around us, bringing God's kingdom from heaven to earth, because we're portals or gateways for God's kingdom to come to earth. For that to happen here, this area, there is going to be a gathering and removing of stumbling blocks. God is sending angels out, gathering angels to remove the idols from our hearts and the stumbling blocks that would cause us to trip up and fall so that we can be pure and holy and refined. That was going to bring judgment on the household of God. God is going to start putting his eyes on the church and saying, this is right and this is wrong. And there is going to be a separation, and God is going to challenge us to be holy and do the things that God wants us to do. Also out here, difficult to see that one. It says harvest of laborers. We're going to see a harvest. That is the initial harvest of laborers, and we're going to see a massive inflow of people into the kingdom of God that we have to equip. God has called us to be part of that equipping. There is going to be a massive shaking of the world systems. We've seen little bits of that in the world. There's going to be enormous shaking, which is going to shake everything so that what's left is the kingdom. And whatever of the kingdom can remain, therefore God's people need to rise up as the house of the Lord is raised up as a mountain that fills the earth. And there's going to be a final harvest that the late harvest for the laborers is going to be part of. And I believe Jesus is going to return. Now, we've seen forerunners of the things that God is going to be doing. The early rain and the latter rain, the early former glory and the latter glory. And we've seen little bits of that. But I want to go on today to look at some more things. Just want to remind you of these scriptures. Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Jesus has come. His kingdom has invaded earth, and he wants to shine through us and let his glory manifest through us. There is going to be a period of great light in which we're going to see this harvest come in. Isaiah 60 verse 2, behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you and the glory will appear upon you, and nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising, signifying that the things of the world is going to start coming to the church for the answers when the world has got no answers to give. That is going to start to take place. But there is going to be a period of great darkness and shaking where we are to shine even greater, and where we are to come and see that end time harvest. Now, are we prepared for that harvest? I said last week in the scriptures, God is using to teach this, and there are many people around the world prophetically who are hearing the same message. That harvest can be 20% of the people around. 20% of the harvest will come in to the cities of refuge that God is preparing. And I believe this area is a city of refuge that God is preparing. We've had prophetic words over generations of what God is going to do here. But 20% worldwide is over 1 billion people. 20% here, how much is that? Well, I did some research. The population of Barnstable was 47,858. I'm not talking about just little Barnstable town, but the area that the authorities call Barnstable. Now, if that's 2009, so it may be sort of 50,000 now, possibly. What's 20% of 50,000? Well, of that, it's 9,600, but it's about 10,000. Now, if 10,000 people were to come into the church right now, what sort of effect do you think it would have? Do you think the church could actually handle 10,000 people? I'm not just talking about our church. Churches together that we're part of has 20 churches thereabouts. If all of them were ready to handle a harvest, that's 480 each. If there were 10 churches that were ready to receive a harvest, because this harvest has to be equipped in the supernatural. If there are 10 churches that could equip this harvest in the supernatural power of God and send them out into the world equipped to bring the kingdom, that's 960 people, 1,000 thereabouts. So next door isn't going to be big enough, okay? We need a bigger building. We need more meetings. I don't know how we would handle 1,000 people, but that's if 10 churches. What if there's 3 churches that are ready? There's going to be a lot of people, guys, that we have to be ready to receive, disciple, equip, and prepare and send out in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be a supernatural place for discipleship, an apostolic resource center for this region, then there's more people going to be coming to be equipped than just the people who are going to get saved. So that's why we need this whole site. That's why we've got a vision for the whole site here. That's why people are getting visions. That's why we're walking around it. That's why Jeremy is making declarations and proclamations and doing lots of prayer walks and others, because this is what God's doing. We have to be ready for that harvest. And I want to challenge your thinking, because if we need biggest place in North Devon for people to come and be meeting, it's probably the Queen's Theatre, 600 people. If we use the leisure centre, you may be able to squeeze more people in. That isn't enough. Then we're going to need a place that is actually able to take thousands of people for what God is going to be doing. That is the Barnstable area. It's really interesting that we've had lots of people coming from places there during the revival meetings. We need to see that God is going to raise up a people who are going to be equipped and shining with glory and power. So that is the southwest area. If we're going to be a regional center to equip people, I don't know how big that's going to be. I know there are going to be other fires and places, but it's going to go bigger like that. And it's going to move all over. It's about that. I know that other places, down in Torquay, God showed me on my fast that there was going to be something down in Cornwall that we would be part of helping. Lots of places. But I know we have to have a big vision to be able to do what God wants us to do. Therefore, we need to be able to be equipped. That is the place that we staked out. When we walked around and we staked it out, see where we are there, and we staked out around this building and what we have possession of right now. We staked out the whole of this area, and then we staked out the whole thing. Looks like a footprint, doesn't it? Very appropriate. God told Joshua that wherever he put the sole of his feet, there we would take possession. But we want to bring godly influence in that site. That's not the limit of what God wants to do. That's just the place that we can actually do it from. Again, we need to go bigger. Now, do you know what's under that site? Focus. Now, we've been eyeing up that building. Jeremy walked around it when he could years ago. Actually, they've just gone into receivership. You know, God wants us to have a place that we can actually bring thousands of people into to equip them in the supernatural. So our vision needs to be bigger and bigger and bigger. Amen. Now, on this thing, there's one little thing. This is what I want to talk about today. That was all just preparing. There's one thing on there which I've just put as one little line. It says wealth transfer. A transfer of wealth. Because if we're going to do those things, there needs to be a transfer of wealth into God's kingdom, into his church, to enable us to do that. And God wants to position us for that wealth transfer. These are some of the scriptures that talk about that. Proverbs 13:22. And the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Anyone righteous here? Okay. Wealth is being stored up for you. Ecclesiastes 2:26, to a person who is good in his sight, this is talking about God, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, while to the sinner he has given the task of gathering and collecting so that he might give to the one who is good in God's sight. Is anyone good in God's sight here? Okay, what must you expect to receive that which is being prepared? Proverbs 28:8. He who increases his wealth by interest and usury gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor. Does anyone know what we do here? We're gracious to the poor. We want to reach out and help those people in need. Therefore, we can claim wealth which is being raised up by interest and usury. It's the financial system which robs people. It's being stored up and prepared. You need to get hold of these scriptures and start looking at them. Isaiah 60 verse 5, talking about there, when you see and be radiant, your heart will thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you, the wealth of the nations will come to you. Talking about God's church, God's people, the wealth of the nations. Now it can come in many ways. That can be seen as people from the nations, but actually it says wealth. What does wealth mean? Means money, doesn't it? You know, you can spiritualize it, but actually it means money. Isaiah 60 verse 11. Your gates will be open continually. They will not be closed day or night, so that men may bring to you the wealth of the nations. We need to be open and ready to receive what God is actually saying. Isaiah 61 verse 6. You will be called priests of the Lord, and you will be spoken of as ministers of our God, and you will eat the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast. It's like these scriptures, we need to get hold of them, and there's loads of other ones. This is a powerful one in Haggai chapter 2, verse 7. I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all the nations, and I will fill this house with the glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of the house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. The Lord of the angel armies says, that the wealth of the nations is going to come when he starts shaking the world. And it actually talks about silver and gold. It's talking about financial blessing. The latter glory, and this is talking about Solomon's house, the temple, which was glorious naturally and spiritually, with the glory of God filled that temple. The latter glory of God's house, God's people, we are the household of God, will be greater, more glorious, and more blessed. Jeremiah 29:11, scriptures we use a lot talking about our lives. I want you to get hold of it. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I want you to hear this for you individually today. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. The word prosper means to be actually prosper. That's what it means, to prosper, to have more than enough. And we'll see God has given us that. And not to harm you, and to give you a future and a hope. The future and the vision that God has for your life, he will provide what you need to be able to fulfill that, if you position yourself so you can receive it. And that's the difficult part. 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. God wants us body, soul, spirit, every part of us to prosper. Now, that isn't talking about having loads of money just for the fun of it. It's talking about having enough to do everything that God's called you to do, and more than enough so you can have an abundance to bless all the things, the good works that God's prepared for you. God has prepared good works for us. He wants to equip us with all we need. And for some people, there's degrees of this. The vision that God's placed on your life, you may only need £1 million to fulfill. There are other people who may need £1 billion. There may be some who need 10p. Who knows? But the reality is, you need to have enough to fulfill God's will for your life. You need to have what God has prospered you to have. Examples of wealth transfer in the Bible. Israel coming out of Egypt. Exodus 3:21 says, I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be that when you go out, you will not go out empty-handed. Thus you will plunder the Egyptians. They went out with all the gold and all the treasure of Egypt. Israel inherited the promised land. They didn't go in and it was empty. They went in, it was full. It already had all sorts of stuff. Joshua 24:13, I will give you a land on which you had not labored, the cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them, and you have eaten of the vineyards and the olive groves which you did not plant. God has got a provision for us which is not to do with how much we can actually get ourselves. It is more than that. Supernaturally, God can provide, but we've got to be positioned for it. In the Bible, 4 lepers walked into the camp of the enemy. They were outcasts, and yet they took all the gold and silver from the Assyrian army, because God had shaken the Assyrian army and they'd fled. God can do that for us. Joseph was promoted from the dungeon to the throne in Egypt and was able to administer all in Egypt. Now, Deuteronomy 8:18 says this, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. The reason God wants to bless us, to give us an abundance, is so we can fulfill his covenant and confirm it. What was that covenant? What was it talking to? Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. The covenant is to bring the blessing of God to the earth, to actually see every family of the earth blessed, come under the kingdom power and authority, and actually be part of God's family in the earth. That is why he wants to bless us. So if you want money to fulfill some nice things in your life, you've missed the point. The point is, this is to confirm his covenant and to enable his people to fulfill the dreams and visions that God has got for them. He wants to transfer wealth to us. Isaiah 61:1 This is scriptures, obviously, that we use as a church, as foundational scripture. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. That was the year of Jubilee, when all debts were cancelled, and everyone received back their inheritance. Any land that they'd lost, any property that they lost during the previous 50 years was restored to them. God is saying this is a day of Jubilee. We can have restored to us what's been stolen, what's been robbed in our lives in every way when debts were cancelled. You know, if you're in debt, you're under the curse. Poverty is a curse. And we don't want to be subject to a curse. Deuteronomy 28:48. And if you read the whole of Deuteronomy 28, it talks about the blessings and curses of God's covenant. In the lack of all things, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. That's what poverty does. It's out to destroy. You know what the devil is? A thief. It says in John 10:10, he's a robber, a thief, and a destroyer, and he's out to bring us into poverty. 2 Corinthians 8:13. This is good news. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ the blessing of Abraham, that covenant blessing, might come upon the Gentiles, us, so that we would receive the promises of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he was rich here on earth because he had enough. He had a treasurer who carried his things. But he was rich in heaven. For your sake, he became poor. He gave up his heavenly majesty that we've been singing about this morning to come to earth as a man, to demonstrate as a man how to operate in the kingdom of God, how to demonstrate God's kingdom on earth. So that through his poverty, his giving up everything and coming to earth, we might become rich. And this is not just talking about money. This is talking about rich in the things of God's kingdom, of his anointing, his power, his authority, everything he has. Jesus gave up heaven so that we can have access to heaven and we can bring heaven to earth. And we need to be rich in everything to do that. In the anointing, in wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, in power and authority, in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in everything, we need to be filled. Poverty will keep us from that. A poverty mentality is not about money. It's not about how much money you've got. You can have £1 million and be suffering from a poverty mentality. Because it's about fear and of lack. About not believing that you're good enough to be blessed. And God wants to deal with that in our lives. God desires to bless us. Psalm 23 verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide and shield me. I shall not lack. That is a promise that we will not lack anything that we need to actually walk in the paths of righteousness that God has prepared for us. Genesis 22:14. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. That's one of the names that God has given himself. The Lord will provide. His provision shall be seen. In the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. God's provision is for us to enable us to fulfill his will. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the New Testament. I meditated on this for about 6 months. And God really blessed me through it. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace. How much grace is all grace? All of it. Now, grace is his divine power and ability and enabling to abound to you. In other words, it overflows. So that always, how much is always? Is there anything left out of always? Having all sufficiency. How much is all sufficiency? Come on, think about this. This is a powerful verse. All sufficiency in everything. So there is nothing left out of this all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. So God wants you to have enough for everything he's called you to be, and who you are, and what he's called you to envision in your life, and an abundance for all the things he's prepared for you to do. You cannot have that if you've got a poverty mentality, because you will not believe that. You will not be able to believe it. And God wants to break poverty mentalities of us, because we're sons of the king. We are royalty. Would you expect on the royal wedding, they had it in the registry office? Would you honestly have expected that? No, they're royalty. They do things on a big scale because they're royalty. They expect to do things the best. God wants us to know that we are sons of the king. We are his children. God is not a stingy dad in heaven who wants to hold things back from us. He's a God who wants to bless us and prosper us and to enable us to succeed in everything he's called us to do. Not in everything we want to do. It's not about what we want to do. It's about what he wants us to do, what he's planned and purposed for us to do in our life, the vision that he's given us for our lives. That's what he wants to equip us to be able to do. And he says that he's made all grace available to us, that we will be able to do that. But if we've got a poverty mentality, we will not. Because we will not believe that we are able or we're worthy or that's for us. Ephesians 6:12. You see, our battle in this, our struggle, is not against flesh and blood. It's not about people keeping us in poverty or anything else. It's about the rulers against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. He who has authority in the heavenly places has authority here on earth. And our battle are against the powers of principalities that keep us in bondage and keep us back. And I believe that God has given us vision for this. You know, I've saw this in a vision. God took me in a vision in showing me an increase in the presence and power of God and took me into the second heaven and showed me thrones that are in the second heaven. And those thrones are thrones which are principalities. Principalities occupy things over areas. Powers occupy smaller areas. There are thrones in that area that belong to us as a church. There are also thrones that belong to you individually within those areas in the second heaven for you to access everything that God has promised you to have. You need to be operating in authority. As a church, we need to be operating in authority. I saw four thrones there, and I know there are others. These are the four that God showed me initially. A throne of blessing, a throne of health, a throne of freedom, and a throne of harmony. But they were occupied. Not by us. But God is saying we need to occupy those thrones. At the moment, that throne of blessing is occupied by a poverty spirit that's seeking to rob. And it's over us as a church, but actually it's wider than that. It's over this region. And God wants to see that poverty spirit displaced so that we can take up the thing of bringing blessing to our communities, our homes, our families, our vision for more. We need to occupy that. Now we'll look at some of those other thrones again. But we must dethrone that poverty spirit. And I know some of you are called here to occupy that throne on behalf of us as a church. But every individual here, you have been called to occupy a place in the second heaven. Because Jesus, Paul said, that we were seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Seated, there is a place where we have authority in the heavenly places. We need to occupy that. So we have to deal with any poverty and mentality and spirit in us, and we have to deal with it in the second heaven individually and corporately. Now there is a temple system of worship that goes on in that second heaven. God showed me a temple. It wasn't just a throne sat there with a fallen angel on it. It is a system of worship. Fallen angels, they want to be worshipped. And we worship them by what we do here on earth. And when we don't believe that we're good enough to receive blessing, we worship and empower that poverty spirit. And lots of other things empower that poverty spirit. And I saw this as a temple. And I saw in front of the temple seats of authority, like parliamentary seats, which gave authority to this temple. There were two principalities that were working there, materialism and fear. And they empowered that poverty spirit to occupy that throne and hinder what God wanted to do in our midst. Materialism and fear. And that's something that we have to look at in our own lives. Those seats will support that poverty, and we empower those second heaven powers by our worship and our idolatry and our belief and our words. So we have to check ourselves out what we believe, whether what we believe and how we're living and how we're acting is lined up with the Word of God. Are we positioned to receive the blessing that God has for us so that we can fulfill that vision that God's called us to have? Because we have to disempower the authority in us first. So we have to deal with these things in us. This is where it starts to get troubled. We can't serve God and money. It's like, I'm not talking about being greedy for money. We can't serve God and money. If our heart is, we need more, we need more, we need more, just to make us feel better, then we're serving money. We need to serve God, but to serve God, God wants to bless us. And that's a totally different dimension. We need to seek first the kingdom of God, and then he will add everything. There's a priority here of putting God first. A poverty mentality means we have to deal with the fear of lack. Many of us don't give and don't believe because we're fearing lacking in our own lives. We don't think we can ever have enough. Materialism is putting our security in things. And I have to challenge all of us. Where is our security? Is it in God or what we've got? Because this is the stuff which God wants to deal with in us. Is God our provider? Are our financial decisions based in fear? So you can have £1 million but still be fearful of lack. Therefore you hoard it. Hoarding is a thing of poverty mentality. It really is. If it's based in fear. If God tells you to store something, that's fine. But fear is nothing to do with God. There is perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in heaven. Do we worry about provision? Or are we thinking about how do we have and will we ever have enough? Have we got enough? Because if that's where our thinking is, that's how we start to live. Do we give cheerfully? You know, if it's a struggle for you to give, or actually you don't even ask God, should I give? It's because poverty can be an issue in our lives. Jesus said it's actually better to give than receive. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe it? It's actually better to give than receive. You know why? Because when you give, God multiplies it back to you. Often people struggle to give. Do we think we're worthy of blessing? Do you think who you are, God wants you to know that you're worthy of blessing, to be blessed and abundance? Because if you don't, then you're struggling with poverty mentality. God wants you to know who you are, and he wants to bless you. Do you expect to be blessed? Do you live from day to day? Or are you living for your future? Now, what are you living for? You struggling to make ends meet? And that's where our focus is? Or actually are we looking for the future of the provision that God's got for us and everything else? Materialism. Using material things to meet emotional and spiritual needs. And this is a really big one. And we all do it, and God wants to set us free from it. God wants to meet all our needs. Every need we have, emotionally, spiritually, financially, in every way, God is our provider. And he wants us to live from his provision. He wants to meet our need for acceptance. Affirmation, approval, significance, protection, provision, and purpose. All that is to be found in God. And if we're trying to find it in things, even in ministry, or anything we do for God, rather than in God himself, then we can be suffering from materialism and we can be empowering those principalities and powers that are looking to rob us. God wants to be our provider for everything. Therefore, we have to stop trying to provide for ourselves. We have to stop trying to make our own provision and start trusting Him and doing it His way so that He can provide for us and meet our needs in every way. Do we serve money or does money serve us? And I'm going to throw out these questions and I just want you to think about them. Do we have things or do they have us? Well, you know when God asks you to give them away. Because if you can't do it and you're struggling to do it, then it's an indication that they've got hold of you and possess you. Because if having a great car or a big house or a great job or anything makes you feel better about yourself, then it's an indication that we're living under materialism. Do we own homes, cars, things, or do they own us? Do we need things to bring us security? Are we prepared to get into debt for short-term gratification? Because if you are, you're suffering under materialism. Because God wants us to provide. Debt is a curse. And we should not be living as Christians in curse. Now, I'm not talking about mortgages. Mortgages, well, although I don't want a mortgage, because I believe God can provide. And I think in the future we will learn how to do these things without the need for the world systems. At the moment, mortgages give us property and we own something. I'm talking about debt. Now, debt is a massive thing in this country. I knew a lot of the statistics when we were looking at the cap side of things and cap money and things. And it's like this country has, I don't know, a third of Europe's poverty in debt in credit card debt. Two-thirds of the whole of Europe in credit card debt in this country. That indicates that people are actually using money to make themselves feel better. That's materialism, and God is challenging it. If we're willing to get into debt to actually make ourselves feel better, then we need to challenge it. How would we respond if God asked us to give things away? Are we free? Are we faithful in our finances or not? It's an illusion, materialism. To deal with it, if we don't deal with it, you will always need more, and it will always be a temporary fix where God wants to meet our needs. More stuff now equals security and happiness is a lie. Food, clothes, shoes, bags, homes, work, boys' toys, gadgets, cars. We can use them to make ourselves feel better. And I know some of you have, and I have, and I'm sure some of you have as well. We can use things when we're not feeling good. Oh, that bar of chocolate. Doesn't that make me feel better? That new handbag. That new iPod. You know, that new car. You know, all that stuff. We can get caught up in this. But when we're not feeling that good, we use things rather than God. And God wants to challenge it. Because it's about fear. We don't trust God. We have to deal with debt as well because it's a deception. Now, trusting God as our provider, I want to run through these really quickly. We know this scripture. Is God our first love? Is God our first in our time? Do we give Him first place? Is God our first priority in everything? Is God first in our finances? Do we put God first and we honor Him first before everything else? See, I was itching to put my tithe and Deb's tithe and stuff in the offering basket this morning because I want to honor Him. I write it out as soon as I possibly can because I want to honor Him with my blessing and with God, what He's given me for. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Where do we go when we've got needs? What do we look for to meet our needs? Is God our first port of call in a storm? Or do we go to the bottle? We go to the cash machine. Where do we go when we've got a need? Is God our first resource? Is God our first thought or is He our last resort? He wants to be our first thought because He wants to meet. Is God first full stop in our lives? Because this is what will position us for God's blessing. It will position us for receiving this transfer of wealth. We have to trust and believe in God. Proverbs 3:5, you know this verse really well. Lean on and trust in and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency, with the first fruits of your income. And then he's going to pour out a blessing. We need to put him first. Applying biblical principles. We know these principles. But look at this in Luke 16:11. If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Often how we handle our finances is a test that God gives us to whether we're willing to honor him or not. And it tests where we are. He wants to give us true riches from heaven, but he's actually testing. Are we ready? Are we faithful? Are we able to be trusted with what God wants to give us? Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. God wants us to be generous and cheerful, being open for him to lead us in giving and blessing other people. Not so that it will make us seem good, but because we're obedient and want to be bringing blessing to the world around us. You know this scripture in Malachi 3:8. It's talking about robbing God, cheating him of tithes and offerings, bringing us under a curse. If we honor God with our tithes and offerings, it says, I will open the windows of heaven for you, pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Put me to the test. Are you willing to honor and test God with your finances? If you're not, you aren't going to be in a position to receive. And it's an indication God wants to deal with stuff. We have to renounce poverty mindsets. The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. What has the devil stolen from you? You need to get it, know what it is so you can get it back. Have you got a poverty mentality? Do you believe you're worthy to be blessed? Are you living in the land of not enough? Be honest. Are you living in the land of not enough? Are you living in the land of just enough? Because that ain't good enough either. Or are you living in the land of more than enough? Have you got enough for all your needs and in abundance for all the good deeds that God's preparing you? Do you trust God to provide for you? We have to renounce false doctrines. Bottom line is, the whole Greek mindset separated spiritual and physical things and said spiritual were really important, material or not. And that introduced the poverty spirit to the church. And the whole monastic movement, vows of poverty, you know, and chastity and obedience. Well, the Reformation changed chastity. You no longer have to be thing in Protestant churches. You don't have to be celibate in that sense. You can be married. But actually, poverty is still a spirit that lingers in the church, and we need to get rid of it. We have to renounce those doctrines because they are giving authority. God wants you poor because Jesus was poor is a false doctrine of the demons. It's a demonic doctrine. Jesus set the example for our poverty by being poor is a lie. He always had enough. Tithing is old covenant. It's a lie. Tithing was given to Abraham before the covenant was even established in terms of the law. Money is evil. Money is totally neutral. It can be used for evil. It can be used for good. Do you want to use it for good or let the bad people use it for evil? Let's get hold of it. Money is the root of all kinds of evil. No, it isn't. Love of money is. It's humble to be poor. No, it's not. It's stupid to be poor. It really is. To be humble, you submit yourself to what God says about you. And he says you're a royalty. He says you're his sons. He says you are blessed to be a blessing. You can't be a blessing to someone if you've got nothing to bless them with. It's true, isn't it? Prosperity is not part of the gospel. It absolutely is. Second best is good enough for the church. It isn't. God wants to bless us and show that the church is blessed in all things. You do not give to receive. Yes, you do. You can't sow to if you don't want to reap. Pointless, isn't it? Farmer does not put seed in the ground and walk away and leave it and doesn't tend it and doesn't want a return from it. When we give, We need to give because we want to receive more. Why? So we can give more. So we can bless more. God wants to bless us. Okay, positioning ourselves. We have to trust in God as our provider. We have to stop using material things to meet our needs. We have to believe that God desires to bless us. We need to apply biblical financial principles. A tithe is the minimum in the new covenant. So I want to tithe 90% and live on 10, don't you? Think of what that would be in your financial life. God wants to bless us to think like this. Realize that God owns everything and we're just stewards. Everything we've got is just because we're stewards. He's blessed us and he wants to give us more to steward. Renounce all false doctrines, mindsets and negative words that have been spoken over us. Break generational curses of poverty that are over your lives as a result of what your parents, grandparents and past generations have done. And cast out and be loose from the poverty spirit. We need to deal with this stuff. Now, I want to just say, right, I'll walk through this stuff. Bottom line is, you need to have a vision that needs provision. If your vision needs no provision, you haven't got a big enough vision from God. Be honest. God will never give you something that you can handle on your own. You always need his provision to be able to do it. This comes to us supernaturally. God can provide supernaturally. We have a basket, a bag there that was designed from heaven. Becky had a vision for it, has made it, because it's ready to receive supernatural provision of gems and jewels and gold and all sorts of stuff that God is going to pour out from heaven. There's a pound in there, because we had a pound appear on the floor here one day, supernaturally, and it's in that thing, and it's like it's going to be filled with God's provision. This week, I went to the treasury room in heaven. I was on the floor, flat out, completely gone, one night, and I went to the treasury room in heaven. I saw the provision of God. I saw a chest being not just opened, but split apart, and the blessing of God being poured out. I've seen, and God showed me, well, Melchizedek, you know Melchizedek in the Old Testament, New Testament, is the chancellor of the treasury room in heaven. And you can meet that guy, and he can give you revelation of things to actually enable you to make wealth. In that treasure room, there are ideas and inventions and things, and God opened up a scroll for me to see of plans for something that would make wealth. And it's like, there are all sorts of things in there that God wants to give you to show you how to make wealth. He's given us the power to make wealth. So wealth does come through that, through prophetic insight and revelation, through sowing and reaping, being transferred through salvation. People who are saved, who've got lots of money, can bring that and be giving that to God for his use. Transfer from the world. God used kings who were pagan kings to enable Israel to rebuild the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. Esther was called to the kingdom for a time such as this. And I believe God is calling you. She was anointed with oils and wore robes, and she became the queen because she was able to bless through her being in that place. God wants to prosper his people so that we're the head and not the tail. It says that in Deuteronomy 28. Now, we have to deal with these spiritual dynamics. We need to demolish these things, all right? Cancel the words, and we're going to do that now, okay? But you, if you want to position yourself, you have to start honoring God first and being a good steward of what he's given you already. So I want to encourage you, if you feel, yeah, I want to deal with the poverty spirit in my life. I want to be set free from materialism and using things, then I want to encourage you to stand and to make these declarations with me. And after we've done that, I want to pray and release that poverty spirit from you as a corporate thing. And only do this if you actually want to. Don't just do it because you feel, well, everyone else is doing it. If you want to be free from the things I've been talking about this morning, then do it with all your heart. I mean it from your heart. Amen? Because I repent of living in fear. I renounce a poverty mentality. I repent of robbing God. I repent of using material things to meet my needs. I repent of getting into debt. I renounce materialism. I choose to trust God to meet all my needs. I'll just say this all together. Don't follow after me. Just say this, what's on the word now, if you really want this. I want just to actually come in agreement together for these statements, because I believe God is going to use these statements to actually really challenge in our hearts. It says, Lord, I thank you that every good gift from heaven above is mine to access through you. I ask that the floodgates of heaven's provision be opened over my life. I receive this now in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for allowing a poverty spirit mentality from entering in my life. I ask the blood of Jesus to redeem me from poverty now in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me from leaning and relying on my own understanding and intelligence and choose to rely upon you for every financial success in Jesus' name. I break any generational iniquity strangling the release of my finances. Be loosed and broken now in Jesus' name. I break the power of limitations over my ability to earn income. Any word spoken against me by any person or demonic spirit in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of robbery from operating over my life, home, finances. I decree my stolen fortunes be restored unto me in Jesus' name. I move from struggling with lack into abundance and ask for Deuteronomy 28 become a reality in Jesus' name. I refuse to celebrate poverty, rebuke the devourer, and repent from allowing this spirit in Jesus' name. My prosperity and my wealth be restored unto me in Jesus' name. Money will cease to be my problem in Jesus' name. I cancel every evil decree against my prosperity in Jesus' name. I declare enmity between poverty and my life, my household in Jesus' name. Lord, I will honor you with my finances from this day forward. I will be sensitive to how you wish me to sow financially in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I thank you from this day forward, you will be working in unison with me to enable me to access every financial reward that is rightfully mine and granted by the Father. I ask you to settle me financially now in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, I just want to release that. Bless you. Now I just want to pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you will release every person here who's struggling with poverty mentality, a poverty spirit. I break and loose the power of that over each person here in Jesus' name. Anyone who's struggling with materialism, I break the power of that over the thinking, over your emotions now in the name of Jesus. And I pray a release of open heaven over your lives. The blessing of God that you have been positioned to receive a transfer of wealth to enable you to fulfill God's purpose and call on your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to pray specifically for those people who know that they're called to be financial pillars in the kingdom of God and spiritual entrepreneurs to make wealth in the kingdom and to access that throne room and thing in heavens. The rest of you, feel free to bless these guys, but I know there are certain people who know that they're called for this. And I want to really release an anointing for breakthrough over their lives right now. Bless you. Thank you, Lord. Okay. God wants to release inventions. He wants to release spiritual strategy and entrepreneurial insight and prophetic revelation in what God wants to do. And he wants to release that to you today and give you an increase in this, because you've been called into the kingdom to occupy that second heaven realm of authority and power, to release the blessing of Abraham into the church so that all the families of the earth can be blessed.